Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
What a day I am having. Father Hugh Barber, first hour. Tim Staples, second hour. If I don't learn something these 2 hours, I'm just not capable of learning. 888-318-7884 is our number. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and it's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. If you got a question about the Catholic faith, maybe something you've been holding on to for a while and you think, oh, I could call today. Or maybe you got a family member who's got a challenge for you and like some help getting over that challenge. Maybe you're a Catholic yourself and there's just something you haven't understood about the Catholic faith or how to make sense of some aspect of the Catholic faith. Maybe you're not Catholic or not associated with Catholics, but you'd like to know why we do something or believe something. We would love to share our best answer with you. 888-318-7884, that number. Tim is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, also a world-traveling speaker of great renown. And you can get him to come to your spot, whether it's in Australia or India or right here in the United States, by going to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. He's also the author of many things, Nuts and Bolts I have here in front of me, and also Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Dr. Cy Kellett. How are you?
I am very well. You know, there is a Dr. Cy Kellett.
There is?
It's my dad.
Your
but,
dad.
Yeah.
But oh, I got the wrong Cy.
I'm a master or whatever's lower than that. So it's getting good around here because you're back in regular rotation.
I am.
You were greatly missed, and it's good to have you back. If it's still feeling well.
I am, and it's great to be back and answering emails as well, but what an email we got today, huh?
Yes.
Well, actually, we got a couple of them. Just phenomenal. You know, folks that are listening don't know what we're talking about, but one of the – just how do you even explain it? You call it a blessing, but it's – wow. One of the huge blessings of working here at Catholic Answers is you get these daily – and it is virtually daily that we get testimonials, you know, coming in.
Right.
Today, a couple of them, but a pastor and who was the other one? Well, just phenomenal stories of coming to the truth, the last place they thought they would find truth, and giving up everything to become Catholic.
And like this pastor's wife who wrote us today about she and her husband both coming into the church.
Yeah.
They don't have anything that's not connected to their ministry. When they leave that Protestant ministry and come into the Catholic Church, they're leaving everything.
Everything. And it depends upon the denomination, but in their particular denomination, everything.
And God bless them. They're doing it.
They are.
Because they feel this deep call to the Catholic faith.
Amen.
And they mentioned you in there, but Catholic Answers in general as well.
Yeah.
And she wrote something in there that struck me. I thought, oh, that is the experience that I have. I'm a Catholic my whole life. She said, when I listen to Catholic Answers, I get the holes filled in things that I didn't understand theologically. And I love when that happens.
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time here.
Yeah. It's just beautiful, though, folks. Yeah. And you know, all of you out there that support us here at Catholic Answers, you really do contribute and participate in each one of those thousands and thousands of souls whose lives are changed forever, man. What a blessing we have here all around at Catholic Answers.
We do indeed. And doesn't do anybody any good if we sit here and talk in front of these microphones.
That's right. Let's do it.
And 888-318-7884. What I was going to say is that we can talk in front of these microphones, but if you don't support your local Catholic radio station and keep, you know, it's the people that build these things make this possible.
Yeah.
And the message goes out, 888-31-TRUTH. There's a lot of questions already, Tim.
Yes.
You've stretched and you're ready to take questions already?
Let's do it.
All right.
Yes.
Mary in Jordan, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross radio. Mary, you are up. Your question for Tim Staples. Mary, no? Hang on a second. Don't go anywhere, Mary, because I'm having trouble with buttons
today. This one also.
Okay. Hi, Mary. You're on the air now. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, okay. I have a concern about what to do if an older relative, say a grandmother or a great aunt or someone, is really wanting baptism for, say, 8 to 14-year-old nieces or grandchildren, and there is very little opportunity or hope of proper catechesis before or after baptism.
Mm-hmm.
These situations are cropping up in a fairly regular way, and I'm wondering what the I know what the official pastoral teaching would be from the church,
right?
But I'm wondering, how do you respond to these very concerned older relatives? What do you do about it?
Right. Okay. Well, let me see. I need to clarify here. So the older relative is pressuring for the 8 to 14-year-old to be baptized, even though the parent is not attending Mass, doesn't care about the faith. Is that your concern?
I don't think pressuring the child is the case. It's just that...
Or pressuring the parents.
The parents are uninterested.
Okay, right.
In doing... The children are not opposed, but right. are not catechized in any way. The older relative is right. concerned for the souls of the children. That's
oh, sure. Concerned. Yeah, okay. Now I think I got it. Well, I think... Once, when you're talking about 8 to 14, as you know, Mary, this child now has reached the age of accountability, and so this is not something that even a parent can force upon them if a child doesn't want to be baptized. So I think what we need here is evangelism all around, to evangelize the grandma, to help her to understand, look, it's not so simple as we're just going to, take this child and baptize them. We need to evangelize a family here. Because if the parents, as you say, are not interested, the child is kind of, well, I don't really care. Well, it sounds to me like everybody's in need of evangelization, and the child is not ready to be baptized. And so, hey, that's much of the world, wouldn't you say, Si,
is
in that situation. That's what we encounter every day as we live our lives, are families that are indifferent or, maybe even in other denominations and such that need to be evangelized, or they're atheist or whatever. So that what I would encourage you to do, or anybody in that situation, is to evangelize. The very basic message of the gospel needs to be proclaimed. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because once Jesus enters into the picture, that's when things get cleared up.
Okay, Mary?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Pray for me.
Okay, Mary. God bless
thank you.
Yes, thank
you. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We will indeed, Mary. Thanks very, very much. 888-31-TRUTH, our number, 888-318-7884, the number. It's funny because we have this mandate to evangelize, but I guess we just assume we go on to step B or C or D, and we forget. You got to start with
Amen.
Proclaim the good news of Jesus.
Proclaim Jesus Christ. This is, and tell you, you'll hear me often sing the praises of Pope Francis, but this is one example where Pope Francis, from his the Evangelii Gaudium, right?
Right.
The gospel of joy, right from when he became Pope, he has exhorted us consistently to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
Proclaim the gospel. Take it to the streets. I loved in paragraph 132 of that apostolic exhortation where he said we need a creative apologetic. We need to not just use the old standard, but we need a creative apologetic to give credibility to the gospel to the people of our time. It's a great message, and he's consistent with it. And that is something that we need to understand as Catholics, that we need to be all about. We need to be Jesus people. We need to be the ones that are known for proclaiming the gospel everywhere we go. Oh, here come them Catholics, man. They're going to be talking about Jesus. You know how those Catholics are, right?
Right. That's a good reputation to have.
That is a good reputation to have. And we're living in an age, this post-Christian, really— you know, I argue, in fact, Cardinal Ratzinger makes the argument in his book, great little book, In the Beginning, that we're living in really a neo-pagan culture.
Right.
You know, and so people are in desperate need of evangelization. Pope Francis used the image of a battlefield. And when you go out into a battlefield and people are hemorrhaging, you know, you don't take their cholesterol. You know, a lot of times we're so focused on taking cholesterol, we're letting people hemorrhage to death right in front of us because they need Jesus. Anyway, I'm getting on my soapbox here, Cy, but this let me tell, and I'll tell you what, you walk around, if you ever come in San Diego, anybody that's watching right now, come by and see us at Catholic Answers, because we got a building full of people who are all about proclaiming right. the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what
Amen
we're about.
That. Right, right. You know, they asked me when you got here, they said, talk about the cruise with that.
Ah, yes.
And that's funny because we're having this conversation. And that's, I mean, the cruise is a lot of fun and we're going to have a great time on the cruise and all that. But you get around people who for whom this is the interest. Well, how do
yes.
I communicate the gospel to people? How do I
Amen.
Communicate in this or that situation? And then you got a Tim Staples there, or you got a Carla Broussard, or a Chris Check, or a Father Hugh Barber there. And you get to have these great conversations. So we want to invite you to come on the cruise with us. We're going to cruise the Caribbean or the Caribbean, either of those, on February 10th to 17th next year, 2019, on Holland American Airlines. Brand new ship. I mean, it's going to
yes.
be brand new when we get on it. It's called the New Stottendam. I did my best. I don't know how to do it.
You're just not Dutch, are you?
I'm not Dutch enough. No. But is anybody Dutch enough, Tim? That's a question we should always all be asking. You can come on that cruise. You just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. You're going to be there.
Right? I am. I can't believe it. It's not that far away.
You know? I know.
February 10th through the 17th. I mean, we're just starting to advertise it, but guys, yeah. you got to jump on board here, literally, right? Jump on board.
Yeah.
Because this is exciting. We are, I tell you, I've been on the Caribbean cruise before, and it was absolutely phenomenal. But we're going to rock the Caribbean, I'll guarantee you.
The closest I've ever gotten is Fort Lauderdale. So I'm interested to see what they've got down there.
Oh, my goodness.
Caribbean.
My wife and I are addicted to the Caribbean. We've been
really?
There so many times, I couldn't even tell you how many
That's
times.
That's cool. I'm glad to hear it.
We went to St. Martin on our... On our honeymoon, been to like Cancun four times, Puerto Vallarta. We've been to Jamaica. We've been to St. Thomas. We've been, and I'm sure I'm leaving a couple.
Maybe we should bring somebody who hasn't gone there. Why are we bringing Staples? Now we all kinds of cool places. It starts in Fort Lauderdale. You go to Half Moon Bay in the Bahamas. We go to Jamaica on this, Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Yes.
I think we go over to Mexico. We go to Cayman Islands.
Cayman Islands.
And then over to Cozumel, Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing about these things are, and I the cruise that I got to go on was the one in Canada, coming down through the St. Lawrence Seaway, and you were there, and you got
too.
Sick on that one.
Yes, but, I did. I've done that one twice.
But the thing is, the people are what makes the cruise. You have these
yes.
dinners. It's these magnificent conversations. So I hope you will, if you're thinking about taking a Caribbean cruise or even a Caribbean cruise, just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Or if you want to give a call, you can call the Cruise Authority at 844-217-6457.
And I will guarantee you, I have friends now all over this country from these cruises.
Yeah.
And I run into them on a regular basis as I travel and speak. You know, it's
yeah.
like, hey!
I know.
Because you really do. You get to know folks and you get those quiet times, you know, whether at meals and stuff where you sit down and really get to know folks, you know, it's fantastic.
I have to say, too, a thing I noticed is, you know, you sit at a table with a different apologist around each night, and there's Tim Staples. Everybody has gone to bed, and he's still sitting there with his table talking about Jesus and preaching, and everybody's having a great time at that table. So,
that's right. So get ready to stay up late if you're at my table. That's
you,
all there's.
You will be at some point. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Or did his followers later come to think he was divine, like it was for the Buddha? Critics of Christianity affirm the latter. But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, the idea of Jesus' divinity had to have come from Jesus himself, because it doesn't make sense that faithful monotheistic Jews would just out of the blue begin thinking a man was God. Second, the Gospels record Jesus saying things that suggests his divinity. For example, he applies the divine name, I Am, to himself in John chapter 8, verse 58. Mark 2, 5 through 7 tells us Jesus merited the charge of blasphemy by claiming to have power to forgive sins. So, Jesus claimed to be God. That's a fact. But should we believe him? Well, that's a question for some other time. I'm Carlo Broussard with a Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I would describe myself as a revert, and ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible, and I'm just so grateful to God for all of his gifts and blessings in my life.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tomorrow, noon Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. And I'm just going to not talk too much so we can get lots of calls.
All right.
I know lots of people want to talk to Tim Pablo in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on EWTN. You're up first this hour. Your question for Tim Pablo.
Hey, Cy, Tim. So nice to talk to you, and thank you for your ministry.
All right, brother.
My question, thank you. My question is, my son, he's 22. He was reading some article or something that someone wrote regarding some research about Jesus, the person, and it said that Jesus, based on the demographics of the Jews at that time, was around 5 foot two or three or something like that. It might not be the resemble the paintings that we see most of the time. I read about that, and I think I read that face is like of a person in Europe. But anyways, what's our take in regards to Jesus' appearance and physical characteristics?
Right. Well, of course, we don't have anything magisterial that I'm aware of anyway. In fact, I'm pretty confident I can say, Si, we don't have anything magisterial on what Jesus looks like. But we do have, as you mentioned, we do have things like the Shroud of Turin, which I'm always amazed at just how incredible that shroud is and how they've run so many tests on it. And every one of them comes up, it is what it appears to be, except one test, carbon dating, which has since been explained why it was off, because it was a edge of the shroud that was taken. And of course, it was in a fire in the Middle Ages, and hence you got some samples from the Middle Ages where it was repaired. So, I mean, the tests keep coming back. It's incredible what we discover about the shroud, some of the intricacies, some of the things that just can't be explained by natural means and scientific means. So having said that, I think we do have a good idea of how Jesus would have looked. He looked exactly like Jim Caviezel. That's how he looked.
Did Moses look like Charlton Heston?
Charlton Heston. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I say that tongue in cheek, but that Mel Gibson and company actually did try to make him look like the shroud.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the nose and everything. It is remarkable. If you put Jim Caviezel next to the shroud, it is quite remarkable. Now, as far as his height, it is true. The average man in the first century would have been about 5'2 to 5'4, as I recall. I researched this many years ago, so I'm kind of going off the top of my head. But according to the shroud, Jesus was very tall. He was much taller than the average man. As I recall, anywhere from 5'10 to 6'2 in that range, estimated by the shroud. Phenomenal. And so when you look at Jesus, though, in the shroud, he's not so much a European-looking fellow. There is you know, he does have Semitic sort of qualities, and that's what we would expect here, his nose and and so forth. So we do have, you know, this is, obviously this is not magisterial, and Catholics are free to disagree about this, but I do think you have a pretty solid, certainly, you know, it's worthy of pious belief to accept that the shroud is authentic, and so we do have that to go off of.
Pablo?
That's great information. I'll tell him that, and
all right, brother.
You know, hope he takes it.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, God bless you. And you know, for anybody who is in the Southern California area, I have been meaning to get up to the Shroud Center forever, and I have a good friend, Dave Bell,
in Orange County.
In Orange County.
Yep.
And my good friend Dave Bells from the Thomas Moore Law Center keeps bugging me. I'm coming. He keeps telling me I got to get up there. But if you want to see, it's a replica, but they have great classes there, instructors that will give you insights as to the nature of the shroud. It's a great, great place to visit. And now I can't remember. I know it's in Orange County. Used to be in Huntington Beach, but now it's at at a camp where you go to, you take your
kids. It'll come to me.
I've been there, but I can't think of it.
I've been there several times. And I don't know why. Because you asked me the question. That's the way it is now that I'm in my mid-50s. If you ask me a question, immediately I don't know the answer. It just goes away. But
my kids go there every year.
I don't know if you've been up to Sacramento. They have a Shroud Museum up there.
Oh, they do?
And it's magnificent. And they have a like a carving that will show that gives you the body, you know. Yeah.
I will tell you this. When I went to Rome and went to Turin and saw the actual shroud in the year 2000, oh my goodness. Sigh, I have to tell you, folks, you know, they only bring it out, you know, every Jubilee year as a rule, every 25 years, and then the popes will bring them out for special, very special occasions. And my wife and I led a pilgrimage with my priestly brother, Father Terry Staples, along with another couple of priests and 118 of our best friends. And I tell you the truth, I wasn't expecting much when we went in and actually viewed the real shroud when we walk in, but I was overwhelmed.
I imagine.
When you see it, it's in fact, I mean, I love the Shroud Center and all of that, but it's nothing like the real deal. Because it's like 3D, man. It jumps out at you, and you know what? They had it in this they built a little building for it, and you go up this ramp kind of, and you only have like 5 minutes. So they kind of keep you moving slowly, and you have a guy explaining things as you go through, but there's just hundreds and hundreds of people waiting in line. And as soon as you leave, there were 100 priests hearing confessions.
Oh, isn't that great?
100 priests, and let me tell you, my wife and I went right in God. Yeah. And every one of those priests had a line of 3 or 4 people because everybody was filing over there going, it is so powerful when you see the shroud. You can see the striations in his shoulders. I noticed that, the musculature. You can see the crisscross whip marks on the backs of his legs as well as on his back and such. You can see that his nose was smashed. You can see that his eye was swollen shut. He was beaten badly. You can see the blood stains. It is absolutely incredible. So if you can get there in a Jubilee year when the shroud is exposed, it is a life-changing experience.
Wow, I'm really glad Al called. Thanks for that, Al. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-318-7884. I'm going to go to Louise in Virginia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. But Louise, this might be one of those we have to hold you over through the break to get the full answer. Is that okay, Louise?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, your question for Tim?
Okay, so my son is 15, and over this past winter, he lost 2 friends.
Oh.
One to suicide, and one, he was in an accident, and the hospital mixed up medication and gave him something he was allergic to.
Wow.
So been a very difficult winter. I'm Catholic. My son's going through RCIA now, and I used to teach CCD many, many years ago. So I'm fairly comfortable with catechism and things like that. And my son is now very worried that both of his friends are in hell.
Oh,
one,
boy.
Because he was not a Christian, the one who had the mix-up in the hospital. and was doing things he shouldn't have been doing. Yeah. The other one, because it was a suicide. And I don't quite know how to counsel him right now.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I tell you, first of all, man, oh my goodness, I am so sorry to hear that. The pain must be incredible that he's experiencing right now. But, you know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church exhorts us in these kinds of situations, for example, with suicide. And I'm sure you already know this, but the Catechism says we always have reason for hope, even in the case of suicide, because in those cases we know psychologically, most likely, this young man was so tormented that his culpability may well have been mitigated. We don't know, of course, absolutely, but we do have reason to hope in these situations. I'll tell you what, I'm going to need to come back after
That's
the
fine.
Break.
Let's do it.
And we'll finish it.
Louise, thanks. Thanks for your patience. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Tim Staples Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Are faith and science compatible? Are they friends or foes? Catholic Answers Magazine is tackling that question and others with our very special Faith and Science issue, delving deep into what is arguably one of the most debated topics of our day. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take an in-depth look at the Catholic view of evolution with Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. We'll review the most common misconceptions about how faith and science stand in opposition with Dr. Chris Kazor. And apologist Trent Horn will refute the skeptic's claim that something can come from nothing, plus so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on one of the most important issues of our day. Call 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Broussard, and I'm here to tell you about a very special promotion we look forward to every year, our annual store-wide summer sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. This spectacular online event includes savings of 10 to 25% and more in some cases on every book, tract, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including my new book, Prepare the Way. With lower prices and a great selection, it's by far the best online Catholic sale of the summer. So log on now and all this month to the shop at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our very special prices. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Tomorrow, Father Vincent DeRosa.
Along with Amy McInerney talking about the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. Join us for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Open forum today. So happy to have you with us. It just came to me. The Santiago Center of Orange County.
That's
the Santiago Center. That's where the Shroud of Turin Center is. So you can, if you're in Southern California, you want to go see the Shroud Center, go to Santiago Event Center. I don't know why it just came to me all of a sudden when we are off the air. It could be this person named Valerie on Facebook who just wrote, "It's on the grounds of the Santiago Event Center in Orange County."
Yes.
And I know who that person named Valerie is as well.
I do too.
Really serious question that Louise has about her son. I mean, first of all, you're 15 years old. Two of your friends die. That's going to create a kind of trauma.
Yeah.
And now he's worried that the boys who died, I think she said boys, I don't remember now, that they're in hell.
You're right.
Okay. That's... Yeah, a paralyzing kind of fear.
Yeah, and we just got started before the break, and I just wanted to mention that these specific kind of cases are dealt with. The church, we have a wonderful church, Si, and she, as a mother, comforts us with truth. You know, was it this past Sunday? I love the gospel reading from Mark chapter 6, where, you know, Jesus is receiving the apostles back after they had gone out and were doing their exploits and such, and then he was going to take them away to a quiet place together, but the multitudes follow, right? They keep following, and Jesus, and they want to be healed, right? They're following, and Jesus, I love that in Mark 6 where it says, and he looked upon them with pity, right? With mercy, with pity, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And that beautiful, Valerie and I were talking about how, you know, when you look at the Gospels and see he looked upon them with pity, find out what he does next. He heals or he teaches.
Yeah.
See, because in our pain, we need healing and we need truth, right? And this is what I love about our church, because our church is Jesus Christ extended in this world, and what you get from official teaching of the church is Jesus Christ extended in the world. So when you, I would encourage you to look at the Catechism of Catholic Church paragraphs 2280 through 2283 on suicide. The Catechism doesn't pull punches, and we shouldn't either when we're talking about something like suicide, because as 2280 says, everyone is responsible for his life before God. God gives life. We don't have the right to take it. I can't take your life. I can't take my life. We need to understand that. It is a profound sin to take another person's life, an innocent person's life. We see in 2281, suicide contradicts the natural inclination of the human being to preserve and perpetuate his life. So it's, in that context, gravely contrary to the just love of self, right? Paragraph 2282, if suicide is committed with the intention of setting an example, especially to the young, it takes on the gravity of scandal as well. So, you know, the church is not pulling punches here. Suicide is a grave matter. It's objectively grave matter, right? And so it should be taken seriously. And so, in a sense, this young man who had two friends commit suicide, he's gravely concerned.
One committed suicide. One, there was a medicine error.
Oh, right. Medicine error on the one. Thank you, Cy. And a suicide on the other. He should be concerned about the souls. Now, he goes too far, of course, when he says, I'm afraid they're in hell, because he knows, you know, they were not living right and so forth. And this is where paragraph 2283 comes in, where Holy Mother Church says we should not despair of the eternal salvation of persons who have taken their own lives. We know that by ways known to God alone, God can provide the opportunity for salvation at the last minute, or there can be, as I said before the break, mitigating circumstances to where a person is not fully, maybe venially culpable instead of morally culpable. So we always have reason to hope and the impetus to pray for them. And so that's what we need to do. In the same way, this person that it was through the medication, an error of medication that died, and you think, oh my gosh, they were not, or he or she was not, or was it a he?
I think so.
He was not living right. And you know this, the same thing applies. I think also of paragraph 1261 in the Catechism, it talks about babies that die without baptism, right? We don't have the same level of certainty of where they are as we do if they were baptized. But what does the Catechism say? We commit them into the hands of a merciful God who we know wills the salvation of all. This is what we have to encourage this young man to understand, that God wills the salvation and willed the salvation of those two young men more than you do and more than I do. Now, is it possible that they could have not gone to heaven? Absolutely, that is possible. But we know, and this is, see, this, Cy, this is the foundation of hope, is because we know the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus proves that God wills the salvation of all. And St. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2:4, God wills this every single person to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Every person who has ever lived and will, and now Paul didn't say that, I'm adding that, but he wills the salvation of every person who has ever lived and ever will live. And so we've got to latch on to that and pray in hope. And if we can communicate, see, it's realism. We don't want to say to someone, like, oh, they're in heaven, don't worry about. No, we should be worried and we should be praying. Pray for their souls. Pray for those around them, but pray in hope, because we know that our God can reach anybody. Does that make sense?
Louise?
That makes perfect sense. And that makes perfect sense. And that actually gives me comfort, because I was guiding him along the same path, and I was worried that perhaps I hadn't interpreted something properly. But I think if we just have him look over the catechism again,
Amen.
And continue to encourage his prayer life, that should hopefully bring him comfort.
Amen. And one last thing I would say to him that in the end, if we are faithful unto death and we are saved, we are going to understand everything. We will know exactly why everything that has happened. We will see how God's grace and free will, his providential plan, everything works together for the good. We will know the other side of the veil. Right now, we pray in faith and in hope.
Louise, thank you so much. It's always good to have an opportunity. I mean, it's a tragic situation. It's good to have an opportunity to be reminded of where our hope is and who our hope is in.
Yes.
Because it's a well-founded hope.
Amen.
There's no need to be anxious. John in Granbury, Texas. I have not heard of Granbury, Texas before, John, but we're happy to have you. Your question for Tim.
Yeah, Granbury is just outside of Fort Worth.
Oh, okay. I know where that
anyway,
is.
Anyway, yeah. It's not a big question, but you know, growing up Catholic, we've always heard that Jesus hung on the cross for 3 hours, from noon to three. And I was talking to a non-Catholic friend, and he said, well, Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. And I think he's getting that from Mark's gospel, because he said Jesus was crucified and it was 9 o'clock. So do you have any thoughts? You know, this is more of a curiosity question than anything else, but why the two interpretations, or how to explain the difference?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think you've stumped me. I'm going to have to look into that, because I too was operating under the assumption, because I know that verse that it was 6 hours. But now as I say that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, no, isn't it noon? So I'm going to have to do a little research. I'm going to get back to you. Do we have another break here?
We have a break coming up. Yeah.
Oh, good, good. That's a great question, because you know, what's on the top of my head is it was 9 to 3, but then I'm remembering noon as well. Is that in John's gospel?
That's what I'm. Yes.
Yeah. So all right. You've challenged me here. So during the break, I'm going to find out.
I don't even know what to do. I've never had this happen before. That Tim Staples said. I'm stumped. I'm shocked. I was like, he's got this. No problem. And then my faith is shattered. I'll tell you.
There you go. See, who do we put our faith in? not in Tim Staples.
Up until now, it was Tim Staples, but now it's all changing. Okay, listen, hang on a sec, and we'll get you an answer the best we can. And while Tim's doing his research, I'll just remind people we're coming up to the end of this great big giant summer sale that we're having. It'll end when this month ends. The month of July closes, the sale closes, but right now, almost everything we've got, all of our books, audio, DVDs, our tracks, our digital products, everything on sale, 10 to 25% off, in some cases more than that, including a whole bunch, literally dozens of things from Tim Staples' work over the years, including Behold Your Mother and Nuts and Bolts, and then his DVDs, Catholics in the Culture War, Defending Your Faith, CDs from all kinds of CDs and DVDs. It's all on sale. Just go to shop.catholic.com. You don't need a promo code. You just put the stuff in the basket, and when you check out, you get the savings. Shop.catholic.com right now, because it's going away soon. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Listen. Have a question? Listen. We've got answers.
Catholic Answers
Live.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students, because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a new resource so good it deserves a place in the library of every Catholic who is serious about his or her faith. Did you ever read something in the Bible that made you just scratch your head? Have you ever been challenged to defend a seemingly scandalous verse of Scripture? You're not alone. The Bible contains more than a few hard sayings, apparent contradictions, myth-like events and figures, and passages that seem to be embarrassingly out of step with modern culture or science. How can you, as a Catholic, reconcile such things with your own faith and with what the Church teaches about the inspiration and inerrancy of sacred Scripture? Don't worry. As my good friend and brother in the faith, Trent Horn, explains in his new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties, God's revelation in the Bible is not something Catholics need to be ashamed of. In Hard Sayings, the first book of its kind, Trent examines dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offers clear, reasonable, and Catholic explanations to unlock their true meaning. He also provides basic principles for reading and interpreting Scripture that the wisdom of the Church has developed over the centuries. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Broussard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It's Tuesday, and that means open forum. Open forum. We have that.
Gotcha.
We go now to Al in Florida. Al, your question for Tim.
Hey, Tim. Simplify.
Simplify, brother.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great because God is good.
All the time, brother.
Amen. So what's on your mind, brother?
Well, here we go. I have a dilemma. I am married to my beautiful wife who was raised Church of God.
Yes.
They are incredibly anti-Catholic. And I've received dispensation, so I go to Mass early morning, and then I go to her Assembly of God service after that. And she will not even say the word Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to just live it, witness it, and show her the true church. And everything she has been raised on has failed her over the years with a brother dying and everything. And I see a lot of things. I get very uncomfortable with things in their service that I will actually walk out in the back and stay there until things are over. But I'm having trouble. I don't know how to. I can't shove it down her throat. I can't per se hit her over the head with the Bible. You coming from that Pentecostal world, what? How could I open her eyes to the Catholic Church?
Yeah, well, first I would say you can't. And I know you already know this, but it's something we need to be reminded of, is we can't open anybody's eyes. It is the Holy Spirit that opens hearts, opens minds. And so really what we have to do is pray. We have to really put a priority. You know, I just recently shared my conversion story here at a local parish. In fact, I was excited because it was the first talk I've given in, oh my gosh, over 2 months. And those poor people sigh. You talk about going long. I went long here at Ascension. I apologize to everyone who came at Ascension Catholic Church.
You're fired up.
I didn't want to stop because, you know, my wife was there and my son Luke was there. But it was great. But at any rate, as I was sharing my story, one thing that pops in my head for you is the fact that I learned after experiencing 1 year of evangelism from my dear friend, Sergeant Matt Dula. And for those who don't know my conversion story, it's called Jimmy Swaggart Made Me Catholic. You can get it right here at Catholic.com. It's a 3 hour, actually three talks where I tell not just my story, but my whole family's story and how we all came to the Catholic faith. But the thing that I learned, I want you to hear me, my brother, what I learned after 1 year of battling with Sergeant Matt Dula, and I fought him every which way but loose. He had no idea he was getting through to me because even when he was, I didn't let him know it. And I fought against him. I had such pride. I didn't want to be Catholic. But what I found out, my brother, is after I left and I went on to become a youth minister, I went to Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, but I could never shake that Catholic stuff that he had, you know, crammed into my canoggin, right? But when I finally came around and I converted and I called Matt on the phone and told him, and he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it at first that I was actually converting. He literally didn't believe it. He thought I was pulling his leg. I had to convince him, yes, I really am becoming Catholic. Si, he actually told me his first thought was when I told him this, he said, he's going to try to infiltrate the church, you know, because I was so rabidly anti-Catholic. He really believed that. Yeah. And I had to convince him. So I'm just telling you, my brother, that was me. And Matt said the same thing you're saying about me. When I left the Marine Corps after a year of fighting with him, he gave up on me. He said, man, that guy's a goner. Right. But I found out every day since the day he met me and we started arguing about the faith, he prayed for me. Daily Mass, daily Rosary, every day for that entire year. And my brother, that was more important than all the apologetics arguments he gave me, all the books he stacked up. I believe prayer is the most powerful thing. And why? Because it is, as it is in Luke chapter 24 with Cleopas and the unnamed disciple on the road to Emmaus. Jesus Christ was standing next to them, and he opened the scriptures and taught. Can you imagine this, Si? He taught them all things concerning himself.
I cannot imagine.
In the law and the prophets. Yeah. Can you? I mean, you had Jesus, and they couldn't see it until the breaking of the bread. There is a Eucharistic reference there. But what is that saying to us? This is supernatural stuff we're talking about here. It's not a matter of just getting the best arguments and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to learn how to use rhetoric, how to argue. Certainly, those things are important, but we do have to understand. In my humble opinion, my friend, and maybe this is from 24 years of being a professional apologist and seeing how many times I have messed up.
Yeah.
You know, arguing with people and I get mad and I say things I wish I wouldn't have said and the person converts. And then I do the perfect apologetic, and he doesn't. You know, it's like God says to you over and over again, you know, keep trying, do your best. I expect you to do your best, but remember, it is me. It is God who opens eyes. That would be what my suggestion to you, my friend, prayer.
God bless you, Al. Thank you very much for that call. We're coming up near the end, so I'm going to keep moving. I hope that was helpful to you. Cody in Albuquerque, New Mexico, watching on YouTube. You are up next today. Cody, your question for Tim.
Thank you, Tim. That was beautiful. Do you still talk to Sergeant Matt?
I sure do. Yeah, we regularly via email or Facebook. I don't get to see him too often, but if I'm ever out in the area of St. Charles outside of Chicago, I'll be on his back porch smoking cigars and sipping scotch. But what's on your mind?
I've always wondered that. That's why I asked. So to put it simple, is it okay in the eyes of the church not to marry or and not to be a religious?
Yes, Cody, sure. That's a great question. And I know there are a lot of people who make good arguments as to the importance of vows and promises, and we need to be living a vowed life, or at least a life where we are have made promises, you know, the commitment, the vow of marriage or religious life. I get that. But no, there are other options. And thanks be to God. So if you're a widow, right, you're not out of God's will. In fact, that's a special place, according to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians or 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. He talks about consecrated widows. But so I think that's the key. The single life can be a calling, and for various reasons, right? But if we are in that situation, our consecration is to Jesus Christ in the sacraments, right? And that's the most important thing. And I think that's something that is relatively new, because there was, I would say, Cy, now you've been a Catholic for 400 years, so maybe you know better than I do about this. There was a greater sense of this, you know, in the pre-conciliar church, the idea you got to be either religious or priest or married.
Yeah.
There's really not a third or a fourth, I should say,
right.
option. But more in the church today, we recognize that people can, in fact, be single, and for many, many different reasons, and be squarely in the will of God. I think we just need, here's my suggestion, Cody, is that we encourage everyone to be committed to Jesus Christ. There's where your commitment lies, right? It's in your baptism, your baptismal vows that you make. That is a life of commitment right there. And your commitment to the Eucharist and to the sacraments in accordance with your calling in life.
Okay, Cody?
Yeah, the reason I ask that is because I have a bunch of issues. So first of all, I am totally blind, which does not prevent me from having children, but I have various hands-on issues that prevent me from being able to safely or psychologically take care of one. And because of the blindness, I don't have any other income other than playing music in bars. I mean, that's literally what I do for a living.
Right.
And I can't really support a wife and family. I mean, I'm broke half the time.
Right, right.
I mean, that's going to be a problem if I'm called to marriage. So
sure.
I've kind of almost settled on... But I'm very involved in my parish.
Yeah.
I mean, I lead
praise
music
God.
For the youth group. I'm in the choir on Sundays. I'm at meetings there twice a week. So I devote my time to that, and I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. is it okay in the eyes of the church to
Absolutely.
Just do that?
Cody, and that's why I said, and for many different reasons, folks can be single and right in the center of God's will, and you are, my brother. If I'm ever in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where can I see you play?
I'm at the Ponderosa Brewery.
Ponderosa Brewery.
Fan?
I love country music. Yes, I like all kinds of music, but yes, I love country music. I'm a kind of Alan Jackson, Joe Diffie, Clint Black, Garth Brooks kind of country folk.
Randy Travis.
Yes, we'll throw him in too. God bless you, Cody. Thanks for calling. And that was the Ponderosa
Brewery.
Brewery.
Yeah.
I might surprise you sometime when I'm in Albuquerque. Did you hear that, Valerie? Because I know my wife is listening right now. Write down Ponderosa Brewery in New Mexico.
Cody, thanks very, very much for the call. We appreciate it. Tim, let's see. We're going to have to go really quick. Want to do one really, really quick?
Let's do it.
Okay. We're going to go to Tim in Denver, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Tim, you got to make it really fast.
Okay.
It's going to be a fast one.
All right. Fast one. Go.
Yeah, I'll go as fast as I can. So, Tim, I just finished reading your book, Behold Your Mother, and it was fantastic.
Appreciate that.
The question that I have for you, of course. The question that I have for you is, you know, a lot of the deductions you made were based on reasoning. So, like, when you talked about Mary having the title Mother of God, it was, you know, based on reasoning.
We're running out of time, Tim. You got to make it a question.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. So, how do we explain that reasoning is a good way to come up with theological...
Yes.
Oh, is it okay to reason about this stuff?
Amen. Right. We have a conference coming up where we're going to talk about that, faith and reason. But Tim, I love Romans chapter 12. We beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living sacrifices unto God, which is your reasonable worship. The Greek word there is logike, reasonable. Huh. Everything that we do as Christians is reasonable. There's nothing irrational. You need to come to that conference, Faith and Reason, because we're going to talk about that for the whole conference.
September 27th, right here in San Diego at the Hyatt Regency. Tim, again, so glad to see you well.
God bless you,
Thanks
brother.
For coming for this.
Great to be here.
Always good to have you. Tomorrow, join us for two more hours of Catholic Answers Live. We'll be here, God willing. Hope you will be too. We'll see you then.